Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, that again, you continue to remind us that you are there with us in the fire. That as Daniel and his friends were thrown in, you were there with them. And each and every day, we can be reminded of that, that during the trials and temptations that come our way, that we know that you will be there with us, that you will stand beside us, and you will continue to keep us. And that again, that you were there in the waters, that when the waters were parted and held apart, that you were the one holding them there so that we could cross through. That regardless of how difficult, how impossible, how crazy it seems, that when it brings you glory, that you will make a way, that you will split the waters and you will hold them back. And again, as we continue through our lives, that as we face battles, as we face things and trials and tribulations, that we know that there is joy because you are there with us each and every time. And so, Father, again, as we dive into your word here, as we continue just to learn more of who it is that you are, would you continue to remind us of these promises that you've given to us, that you were there with us in the fire, that you were there with us in the water, and you were with us in every single battle, that you have defeated the grave, that when we look towards it, there is no body there because your body has risen, that your son has risen and you have defeated death, that you have defeated sin. And we take solace in that. We take comfort in that. We take hope in that. And so, God, again, would you be with us here as we dive into your word, as we learn more of who it is that you are and what it is that you want us to do? Would you continue to move in us and allow us to grow closer to you, to fall more in love with you, and just continue to spend this time with you? And so we continue to praise you. We love you. We do these, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we'll be starting a new series in these upcoming weeks, and I've kind of titled it Disciples in Training, and you'll kind of see a little bit more of that as to why, but I've mentioned this before, and that Brittany and I both have been trying to exercise more, to be a little bit more fit, and to try to make a regular routine of going to the gym, of working out, and so forth. And in my personality, in the way that I am, I aim to research and to study and so forth. And so in trying to exercise more, I started looking into, okay, well, what other programs are out there? What other ways have people worked out? What other ways have been successful? And, you know, maybe there's something from that that I can pull from. Maybe there's something that I should be copying. And one thing that I kind of got distracted by, in a sense, was looking up the different workouts of many other professional athletes and just kind of being taken aback by just how much it is they do. And so these were three in particular that I thought were just kind of, I don't want to say crazier than the rest, but just three that were like, wow, it's impressive to see how much it is that they do. And so the first one, hopefully all three of these, you would be familiar with these gentlemen, but the first one is Michael Phelps. And what he would do during his training, especially during peak training times, like getting ready for the Olympics or tournaments and so forth, is that he would actually swim 80,000 meters a week. For us, in our terminology, that'd probably be equivalent to about 50 miles every single week. How about you guys? But I don't even think I walk 50 miles in a week. And this guy swims it every single week, day in and day out. That every day his routine is to wake up and swim for 5 or 6 hours, again, every single day. And on top of that, he doesn't just finish with that. That's just the start of it. He then goes into weight training, and he does a lot of body weight exercises because his goal isn't to bulk up, which would slow him down, but to lean his body into a better swimming machine. Another example would be Manny Pacquiao. He's a very famous boxer, if you didn't know. And during his peak times when he would exercise, he would wake up at 6 a.m. and he would go for a light jog of about 45 minutes and then finish with a sprint just to burn off whatever left that he had. And then he'd take a short break, and then he'd actually go into working out. He'd start with a 3-hour session where he would do exercise to exercise with his trainers of different boxing type things. And he would do this consecutively, as in 3 hours nonstop, because what he's trying to do is to develop this endurance that he would need, that when he goes through a 12-hour boxing match, he would finish it every single time. And then once he finishes these 3 hours, he then performs 1,400 crunches just to top it all off. And then the last one that I have here is Peyton Manning. He's a quarterback. He used to play for a variety of different teams in this case, but this guy works out the way that he plays. It's very methodical. And so he would work out in sections. So he would do things to train his core. He would do things to train his flexibility, his agility, and then finish off with strength training. So he'd do things with like medicine balls to develop catching and throwing and developing his core muscles so that he could turn and do whatever he needed to do as a quarterback. He'd work on his agility by working with speed ladders so that he could be quick on his feet whenever he needed to. In being flexible, he'd stretch to the point of tension and he'd hold it for 15 seconds every single time. And then he'd finish off again with working with weights and trying to strengthen his muscles so that when he needed to make that throw, when he needed to make that burst of speed, he could do it. So regardless of which athlete you look up to, regardless of which one, they all have some kind of training regimen that they go through. They all have some kind of system that they do in order to train their body to be in the best shape possible for the game, for the match, for the tournament, for the round that they're about to enter into. And so for today, we just finished up, if you haven't been with us, we just finished up a series going through the book of James and seeing how we put our faith into action. And that what it meant to be a disciple of Christ was to have faith in who Jesus was, and that that faith should change the way that we speak, it should change the way we think, it should change the way we handle money, and even it should change the way that we think and the way that we pray. And so in the same way that we look at these athletes who have trained, we as Christians need to train ourselves in order to deepen our faith, deepen our love, our reverence, our devotion to who it is that Jesus Christ is. And the way that we do that, the way that we often say, is that this is through something we call spiritual disciplines. Now for this series, I'm mainly going to be looking at two major resources in addition to the Bible. The first one is The Spirit of Disciplines by Dallas Willard, and the other one is Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney. Both of these are kind of the two top-notch guys when it comes to spiritual disciplines, and both are excellent reads that if you wanted to learn a little bit more, you should probably pick up one of these books and kind of go through them. But what I want to do here is talk about what are spiritual disciplines and kind of introduce this to us as we dive into the series for the next few weeks. So I want to go over what exactly are spiritual disciplines and then kind of go over what they aren't and what they don't do. And then finally conclude with why does it even matter? Why should we bother going through all of these disciplines? So first off, what are spiritual disciplines? And again, I think the best way to start this is just to give you a definition. This comes from Dr. Donald Whitney in his book. The spiritual disciplines are those practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are habits of devotion, habits of experiential Christianity that have been practiced by God's people since biblical times. And so what Dr. Whitney is saying here is that these spiritual disciplines are things that Christians do in order to grow in their devotion to Christ. Now, the way that these kind of get divided up and the way the Dallas Willard says it is that there are two types of groups. You can either do disciplines of engagement or disciplines of abstinence. So disciplines of engagement are practices where you do something in addition to your normal day-to-day activities. So, for example, studying God's word would be a discipline of engagement, that you would dive into his scriptures, that you would spend time reading and reflecting and looking into what it is that the Bible has taught us. Or another example of engagement would be worship, like what we're doing here. When we come into his house and we praise him and we worship and we love him, that we gather together and we engage in something to give praise to God. So again, disciplines of engagement are when you do something in order to draw yourself closer to who it is that God is. But then on the other side of things, we have these disciplines of abstinence. And these are practices where you withdraw yourself, you abstain from something in order to engage or feel more connected or focus more on who it is that God is. Perhaps the most common example is fasting. We've probably all come across this term. We've all heard of this thing. But again, fasting is where you withdraw from food. You abstain from eating food in order that you would better engage, you would better connect with God. Another example of abstinence is silence, where you refrain from speaking so that you can hear what it is that God is trying to say to you. But the one thing that I want to point out, regardless of you looking at disciplines of abstinence or disciplines of engagement, is that these disciplines are all actions. These are not attitudes. These are not things that you feel. These are things that you do. Whether you're studying God's word, you're worshiping God, you're fasting to hear from God, or being in silence to hear God, all of these things are things that you do. They should not be confused with things like the fruit of the Spirit. But those are attitudes. Those are things that get exhibited in us. And most often, when we do these disciplines, we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. So to kind of continue through this, let me kind of go over what these spiritual disciplines aren't, what they don't do for us. The first thing that these disciplines don't do is they don't lead you to salvation. Again, we just finished the book of James again, and in looking through this, a lot of people often mistake James's push for action as a faith-based works. That James continues to say that in order that your faith should lead you to action, and people then confuse that with your actions lead you to salvation. The same thing is often thought of when it comes to these disciplines, that when you do these disciplines, that these disciplines are your proof of salvation, that these disciplines are what gain you to God. And that's, in both of these cases, that would be the wrong way to think of it. This would probably be the biggest differentiator in how we think of things today versus how the Pharisees thought during Jesus' time. The Pharisees would think of disciplines of prayer or honoring the Sabbath, of being godly, that they would do these things because they want to earn their salvation by praying to God, by giving money to God, by, again, honoring the Sabbath. That's how they earned their way to salvation. And what Jesus came and he told them that it was only through faith, not in the works that you do, but only in faith in Jesus that you come to salvation. And so again, these spiritual disciplines are a means. They aren't the end. They are a way that you gain godliness. They are a way that you connect to God, but they don't get you to God. They don't earn you your salvation. That only comes by grace through faith and faith alone. The second thing that these disciplines aren't is that they're not a checklist. They're not something that you just want to go through and check off in your day-to-day activities. Again, as we spend the next several weeks going through different disciplines here, your goal shouldn't be to get them all done Monday so that you can have Tuesday through Saturday to kind of do whatever else it is that you feel like doing. In fact, I would even say that the goal for most of these disciplines is that you shouldn't be trying to get through every single one of them every single week. And that some of these probably shouldn't even be done but just a few times a month or a few times even a year. Spiritual disciplines are something that should draw us closer to God. They should pull our attention and our affections towards the one who saved us. And with that in mind, again, it would be odd for us to try to get through these things as quickly as possible. Take, for example, if you were on a date with somebody, whether this be your very first date with somebody or whether you've been dating for several years and you're just going out on a date night. And the entire time you're out, the entire time you're at dinner, you're at this nice restaurant, candlelight, they even got bread and butter, so it's really fancy, and you're really just happy to be there. But you notice when you look across the table, your date is just constantly just doing like one of those like, oof, you know, they're just kind of anxious to get out of here. Or every time there's a pause, they just ask kind of like, so how much longer do we need to be here? Or, you know, they just keep constantly looking at their phone. They're not even engaging with you. They're not even talking with you. They're just checking Instagram. They're checking Facebook. They're spending the entire date on their phone. It doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take many of us to realize that this is not a date that's probably going well. Again, whether it be the first date or the 100th date, this is not a date that you probably want to be on. So imagine doing the same thing with these disciplines with God, that you're on a date with God. When you study his word, you are spending intimate time with God, that when you are fasting from food, you are spending time to be closer to God. And instead of studying and reading diligently, instead you're looking at your watch, you're looking at your phone, so you can find out how much longer do I have to read before I can move on to the next thing. Or if you're fasting, you're spending your time looking through recipes, looking for restaurants, so that once you finish your fast, you know exactly where you're going to go so you can eat as quickly as possible. Again, as we go through these disciplines, take your time through them. Take the time to be intimate with God. Take the time to honor who it is that he is and how he's trying to connect to you. And so the final thing we look at here is, why should we do them? Why should we bother going through these spiritual disciplines? The first reason is that we do them because Jesus did them. I've mentioned this once before, but I grew up in the time of the WWJD bracelets, lanyards, and all those things. And that phrasing of, what would Jesus do, was something that people would use or say when they had a decision before them that they just weren't sure how they should go about it. And so they would think to themselves, what would Jesus do? And hopefully that would give them guidance as to how to move forward. It'd be something to reflect on. But I think the question that comes before us when we look at these spiritual disciplines isn't what would Jesus do, it's what did Jesus do? You see, spiritual disciplines aren't just something that's been done for fun. These have been done ever since God created us in this world to worship him. They've been done since the beginning of time. And even more so, again, these are things that Jesus did during his time on this earth. And Jesus did these not because he needed to be closer to God. He did them to be the perfect example that we should follow. That when he prayed, we should pray like he does. That when he goes into solitude and goes away from the rest of the world so he can hear from God, that we should follow his example. And if the only perfect person on this earth did these things, I don't think it's too far-fetched to say that we should probably aim to do some of these as well. And the second reason that we do these spiritual disciplines is because being a disciple of Christ isn't a passive activity. Being a disciple is not something you can just sit here and just become more and more of just by happenstance. There's no osmosis. If I just sit here, it slowly just absorbs into me. No, you have to actively take a role in being a disciple of Christ. Probably the best example we can think of this is in Luke 19. You look at Zacchaeus. And if you don't know his story, again, he was this tax collector who was, in this day and age, a tax collector was somebody who basically betrayed all the Jewish people. They would usually manipulate them and say, Rome owes, you owe Rome this amount of money, and he would add on money to that so that he would then benefit, that he would profit from that. And so tax collectors were looked at as some of the evilest people in the world. And so Zacchaeus, this tax collector, heard that Jesus was coming through town, that he wanted to see who this was. And so what he did, because he was a short man of stature, he climbed up a tree just so that he could see Jesus, just so he could witness him walking through. It wasn't even about, hey, I want to have dinner with this guy. I want to talk to this guy. He was just, I climbed up this tree because I want to see this man walking through town. And when Jesus encountered him, he told him to come down from the tree, and he had dinner with him, and he changed his life. And he invoked in something in him that only Jesus could. These spiritual disciplines are our way of climbing up the sycamore tree. These are our ways of stepping out to see how Jesus will interact in our lives. And when you do, you don't know how Jesus will respond. All I can say is that if you want to see how Jesus will act and change your life, the best way to do it is to move in a place where you can see Jesus and see how he connects to you. So again, as we look through these things, as we dive into this idea of spiritual disciplines, again, I titled this Disciples in Training, because as we go through these different things, we are actively training ourselves. We are actively trying to become better Christians, better disciples, better followers of Jesus Christ. Because as we look through this, we think back to these athletes who have been training. And oftentimes, we tend to think like, man, it must be nice to make millions of dollars to play a game of basketball or to swim a lap or to win this tournament or whatever it may be. But we often forget that behind every tournament, every game, every round, every shot, there have been hours of days, of weeks, of even years of preparation that go into that one moment, that go into that one point. In our lives, we're to train ourselves up so that when temptation comes or when this challenging decision arrives before us, we don't ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Because sometimes when that temptation arrives, when that decision is before you, you don't have time to sit there and think and think and think and see what it is that has to happen. You have to act immediately. And so as we continue to practice these disciplines before these moments arrive, hopefully what happens here is you don't have to ask, what would Jesus do? You begin to act more like Jesus did because you've been connecting with him. You've been spending time with him. You've been in daily devotion with Jesus Christ. And you act as he would because you've been in line with what he's been doing this entire time. So as you draw closer to Jesus, he will draw closer to you. And so the questions that lie before us here is, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, then I would implore you as to why. And that as we go through this series, I would hope that as you hear about these different disciplines and as you hear about these different things that you can do to connect to Jesus, as you go through them, see how it is that God connects to you. See how it is that God reaches out to you. See that God has been wanting a relationship with you for this entire time. See how God sent his son to die so that you could be reunited with him. And I hope and pray that if you don't know who Jesus is, that as you go through these disciplines with us, that you would see this relationship that he's been yearning for with you ever since you were born. And if you do have a relationship with Jesus, then as we go through these disciplines together, then be excited for how you'll go closer to God. Be excited for how the things that you do and the relationship that you'll have with him will grow in width and in depth. And be excited for how you can take your relationship to God with God to another level. Because as we train, as we develop ourselves, that's the point of being a follower, is to see how can we increase in godliness? How can we increase in being the reflection of Christ in our day-to-day lives? And so as we continue through this, as we dive into this series, I hope you guys are excited as I am, because I'm looking forward to going through these things. And every single one of them, I'll be challenging you just each end, week in, week out, to try to do these in one way, shape, or form. And I hope you're excited that as we go through these, again, it'll hopefully give you a better idea of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. It'll give you a better idea of what you can do to deepen your faith, or again, just give you an idea of how you can encounter God. So again, I'm looking forward to starting through these, and I'm looking forward to diving into them, and I hope you have a better idea of what these spiritual disciplines mean, and I hope you're, again, you're just as excited as I am to go through them together here. So let me pray for us, and then we'll close out with some worship. So Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just giving us this opportunity that we can learn more about you, that we can learn more of how it is that you want us to connect to you. And so, Father, as we go through, would you continue to invoke in us a passion towards learning more about you, a passion towards growing closer to you? And that as we go through these disciplines, as we study your word, as we spend time in prayer, as we separate ourselves from the word so that we can, from the world, so that we can better hear from you, that when we spend time not speaking so we can hear you speak again, would you continue to connect in us in a way that only you can? Would you continue to deepen your relationship with us as we yearn for a deeper relationship with you? And again, as we climb up this sycamore tree, as we climb up and look to see who it is that you are, would you call us down and spend time with us in dinner, in devotion, and in times where we don't know what to do? Would you continue to give us answers? Would you continue to give us guidance? Would you continue to lead us by your Holy Spirit? And so, Father, again, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the lives that you've changed and for the lives that you will change. And we thank you for continuing to be who it is that you are in our life today. So we thank you, we do these, and we pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen.